Hello to our wonderful youth. Welcome to Yellow on Air this beautiful Sunday, brought to you by Women of Africa Care. Yes, Young Adult Life Orientation on Air is a program that is broadcasted every Sunday at 10 a.m. and is repeated on Mondays at 10 p.m. on Gospel for Grampian radio station. So if you get to miss the program that is broadcasted on air, then I encourage you, dear youth, to please subscribe to the Gospel for Grampian Podbean. Then you get to access all our episodes, and our episodes are brought as especially to encourage and empower the youth, brought to you by Women of Africa Care operating in South Africa. Now, let me give you some wise words. Author Rick Warren, who wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? He makes this statement. Whilst it is wise to learn from experience, it is wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Yes, youth, don't make all the mistakes yourself when you can learn from the mistakes of others and advance yourself. I always tell my sons that I've got two youth sons. One is 24 and one's going to be 21. And I always remind them, sons, don't try and make all the mistakes yourself, because then you are going to take 30, 40 years to reach something that you could have reached in 20 years or 10 years because you've learned from my mistakes. Allow my mistakes to shape you on being a better person rather than you reliving my mistakes and delaying succeeding and prospering in life, because every mistake has a consequence and brings delays in your life. And so at Women of Africa Care, we have two youth programs going out on Mondays at 10 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. as a repeat to encourage the youth that listen to what we are saying on air. We are here to encourage you so that you become wiser and learn from the experiences of others. So our experiences on the air is to help you so that you don't make all the mistakes yourself. Today, youth, we've got an exciting topic, episode 25, and we are talking about what are the things youth cannot live without. And specifically youth here, we're talking about teenagers, but I'm sure young adults also can fit in this. So let's see, what are teenagers saying that they cannot live without? Well, Pratiksha Mishra, all the way from India, writes on Blog Quora that there are three things that she believes youth cannot live without. She says, firstly, mobile phones. We teenagers have a really tough schedule. We have to travel places, take selfies with friends, calls, and whatnot. All possible is because of a mobile phone. So she says the one item she cannot live without is a mobile phone. The other item she says is the internet. She says this, just imagine how our life would turn if we don't have an internet. We can't share our personal lives with our friends. We can't get updated with the world around. We can't do video chats and exchange data. No music, no WhatsApp, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Snapchat. And we cannot even buy stuff from Amazon, Flipkart, and so on, which most people are dependent. And then she says, lastly, she cannot live without friends. She says, obviously, friends play a major role in one's life. We can't imagine our lives without our friends. Can we? Sharing secrets, problems, friends are always a second family. So here you have it. So if you've just tuned in now, the topic for today on Yellow on Air is what are the things youth cannot live without? And so that is what Pratiksha says. She cannot live without a phone. She cannot live without the internet. And she cannot live without her friends. Well, let's see what Assistant Bot tells us. He says, or she says, the robot says, teenagers cannot live without technology, emotional support, and social interaction. Social interaction? Teenagers crave social interaction with their peers, whether it's in person or through digital means. This helps them develop social skills, form friendships, and feel connected to their peers. Technology. Teenagers need smartphones, laptops, and other digital devices that have become essential for many teenagers. They use this for communication, for entertainment, for learning, and staying connected to the world around them. Emotional support, whether it's from friends, family members, or other trusted adults. Teenagers need emotional support and guidance as they navigate the challenges of adolescence. Feeling understood and supported is crucial for their well-being. So if you're a parent listening onto this youth program today, I encourage you parents, take note. Pratiksha is saying that friends and interaction is important. Social Bot is saying children, teenagers, young adults need emotional support. They need friends, family members, and other adults that they can talk to in terms of guidance and navigate their lives as they experience and go through the challenges of adolescence. So if you're a parent, please give attention to your teenagers. They need you. How you develop and shape and help them during their adolescence is going to determine their success growing up. So do not neglect your teenagers. Please, parents. Okay, let's see what BBC Youth says in an article on bbc.co.uk. They say that youths cannot live without the web. Young people need computers. The age 16 to 24 age group has been dubbed digital natives. A survey of 16 to 24 year olds have found that 75% of them feel they cannot live without the internet. The report published by online charity YouthNet also found that 4 out of 5 young people use the web to look for advice. About 1/3 added that they need to talk to a person face to face about their problems because of the resources available online. It's important that parents have full understanding of the internet and its risks. Younger people need parental direction. Did you get this? Youth, go to your parents. If you are orphan or if your parents are too busy, go to your church leaders, go to your teachers. Find somebody of good Christian background, having the word of God, spirit-filled, morally astute living to help you when you have life issues. You just can't go to anybody. You have to go to somebody that is grounded in the word of God that can give you good counsel. Okay, dear youth, please. It is evidence that we're reading in these articles that young people need someone to talk to. Carl Hodd in the Quora.com blog, he says, this is his view of what teenagers need or what youth need. He says they need music. He says, I know it's weird, but almost all teens that I know listen to music very often. The type of music they listen to differ, but the main point across is, I need my music, he says. YouTube, video games. Do I even have to explain this? Us teenagers need these things, okay? I mean, gosh, I could never live without cringy YouTube videos. This is what this teenager says. Cringy, worthy things. Of course, as a teen, we make complete fools of ourselves all the time. That's what he says. He needs a parental guidance, right? He says, teenagers need sleep. He says, man, I need to sleep at least 15 hours a day. I just can't function without sleep. Well, unless I pop some cappuccinos. Cappuccinos is a hot coffee drink, right? With froth on the top. So he's saying as a teenager, he needs 15 hours of sleep. And then he says, on a serious side, he says that he needs somebody talking. He says, me? I would die if I couldn't speak a single word for a day. On top of that, I desperately need to hear talking to. So he wants to talk and he wants somebody to talk to him. So as you can see here that this teenage youngster is craving for social interaction. He says he needs love. I'm taking this to a bit more personal of a level, but I desperately need love every day. He says teenagers often have low self-worth and question if they truly mean anything. Love is one of the few things that keep us going. So teenagers, Please, if you're lacking love in your home, get to your church, contact the youth pastor, get into a youth group so you can get the necessary love that you need. And parents, please, if you're listening, listen very carefully. Teenagers need parental care, parental love, social interaction. So make sure you make time for them. Laughter. He says, I need laughter. He says, this kind of ties in with the previous one of love. He says, we need laughter. Oftentimes we question life, wondering if life is worth living. Just hearing the laughter of others shows the true great side of life. And so these are what our teenagers are telling us today, listeners, that they need love, they need interaction, they want somebody to hear them when they speak, they need their computers, their gaming, they need their mobile phone. But what the consistency in all of this is that they crave attention, they need friendships, they need social interaction, they need love, and they want to be heard, and they want to speak, and they want someone to talk back to them. So parents, please listen. Your teenagers need your attention. So what does the Bible say what human beings need? So teenagers, I'm talking to you today. There's the physical need. There's the mental need, but there's the spiritual need. And when you can fulfill the spiritual need, out of you will flow that spiritual need that will transform your mind, your heart, and your physical body. So I want to talk to you teenagers today about the need for God. Author Rick Warren says that without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. And without meaning, life has no significance or hope. So my dear teenagers, before you get to the part of seeking your phone, seeking your internet, or seeking your friends to identify who you are and the version of who you are and what you are about, to identify your identity as such, you need to begin with God, says Rick Warren. Rick Warren says this, you must begin your life with God. Your wisest moments will be those when you say yes to God. You didn't create yourself, youth, so there's no way you can tell yourself what you were created for. The way you see your life shapes your life. So if you don't see your life in God, then the internet's going to shape you. Your friends are going to shape you. Your mobile gadgets are going to shape you. Wrong information is going to shape you, right? So it is important for you to shape your life in who God says you are and finding yourself in God. It's like this young teenager said, Kyle Howard says that as teenagers, they make fool of themselves. You shouldn't be making a fool of yourself. God did not make you a fool. God made you as a wise youngster. The Bible says that when Jesus was 12 years old, he grew in stature and wisdom and favor with people and with God. So God wants you as a teenager to grow in stature and favor and wisdom with people and God. God made you wise. God made you to be a honorable person. And so you don't and you shouldn't behaving like a fool. The only reason you behave like a fool is because you want to get attention. And it's because possibly that you don't know who you are and you're seeking attention in the wrong places. So you think if you laugh at yourself, and other people laugh at you, it's going to make the world a better place. No, laughing at yourself and making a fool of yourself is not your God design, okay? So for you to find out everything about you so that you can appreciate all the things that God created on the earth for you to enjoy is to find out who you are in God. So Pratiksha, if you are listening from India today, I'm going to say to you, park your phone. Park your friends, park your internet, and begin with God. Yes, Kyle Howard, if you're listening on today, begin with God. Because what are the things that you cannot live without? You cannot live without God. The Bible is clear that without God, no man can enter the kingdom of heaven. We are going to be living forever. We are created as eternal beings. So if you're going to think that your gadgets and your laptops and your internet and your phone and your friends are going to give you purpose in life, no, they are there as accessories, as add-ons, as good to have, But in the absence of God, those things are not longevity. They don't last forever. They are not going to sustain you. Your salvation in God is what's going to sustain you. And it is in God that you begin to find your purpose, your identity, and your value in life. So the first thing you got to do is begin. What is the most important things for you? Firstly, begin finding yourself in God. I love what he says here. He says you cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God, your creator. Yes, youth, you exist only because God wills that you exist. The Bible says that God thought of us before the foundations of the earth was created. He had us in mind when he created us. In Psalms 139, it speaks about it. While you were yet in your mother's womb, God created you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. God chose the parent that you are going to have. He chose the mother that's going to birth you. He knitted you while you was in the womb of the mother he chose you to be born from. So you have to begin your life with God, and you were made by God, and it is only because of God that you exist. So you need to go find yourself in God. And until you understand that you were made by God and for God, youth, life will never make sense for you. It is only in God that you discover your origin, your identity, your meaning, your purpose, your significance, and your destiny. And therefore, you don't have to worry about the adolescent transition that you're going through, because I was one of those adolescents. It can be overwhelming. And if somebody had actually told me this when I was a teenager and I could find myself in God at the level that I understand now, I think I would have been like Jesus, growing from 12, 13, 14, 15 years onwards, growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And that's what God desires for you, youth, okay? So remember what I'm saying today. As Rick Warren's inspiration, I speak to you today. He says, it is only in God that you discover your origin, your identity, your purpose, your meaning, your significance, and your destiny. Every other path, he says, leads to a dead end. Okay, so he also says this, I just love it. He says, character is both developed and revealed by test, and all of life is a test. Yes, you will be challenged, dear youth. And it is a test of whether you are knowing who you are in God. The devil will always come and test you, right? And when the devil tests you, the Lord will allow you to go through the test to shape you and define you. But if you specifically only focus your life on telephones, on mobile phones, on internet, on friends, on gaming, on laughter, and on human beings, and you keep God out of the equation, and you keep God last off in your list, you are in trouble. God has to be the priority of your life because he designed you. He created you with purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a good future. God is saying he gives you that hope and a good future. Nobody else. He doesn't say that man's going to give you the good hope and the good future. Your parents are going to give you the hope and the good future. God gives it to you. And so if you don't allow God, if you don't begin your life with God as an adolescent, then everything else is going to determine and influence your destiny, and you're going to fall short of the destiny that God has prepared for you. He says here, how you define life determines your destiny, right? And so how do you define your life? In God. And that's what he's saying. I love, youth, what 1 Colossians verse 16 says, for by God all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through God and for God. And so, dear youth, if you can understand that you were designed and created by God for God, then you have to begin your teenage life with God. To say, God, your word says, I was created by you for you. So Tell me about me in you, and what is it that you have prepared for me in this life, and help me to walk the journey. If you listen to all our previous episodes, we remind you how to walk with God. You first have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and then you confess him with your mouth as Lord of your life, and then you have now become born again. You then become baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? And now you're filled with the Spirit of God, who's going to lead you and teach you all things. He anoints you to be able to be effective in the things God wants you to do. God has put special gifts and talents in you, dear youth. Beautiful talents that he wants you to use. Let's look at some of the people that were talented in the Bible. David was a talented shepherd boy. He became a talented army captain and then a talented king. Let's look at King Solomon. He was a talented king and God gave him much wisdom. Therefore, he wrote many books. He wrote the books of Proverbs. He wrote the books of Ecclesiastes. He made many mistakes. And in Ecclesiastes and in Proverbs, he talks about the things that are vanity outside God. He was the one who said in Ecclesiastes, he says there that without God, life is just vanity. He says the whole duty of a person is to fear God and obey his commandments. So you see, he's saying the duty of man is to make God priority, making God the first point. Meaning, if I fear God and I obey his commands, that means everything I'm going to do in life is going to be as a product of obedience to God and fearing God. And fearing God, dear youth, is not a bad thing. It's not a thing where you're afraid of the teacher, that if you do something wrong, the teacher's going to beat you up, so you're afraid of hiding. No. Fearing God is, he's a loving God who cares about you and wants the best for you. And when you see God, you see what an awesome God he is, that it is your desire to honor and please him, because he is just so magnificent and so wonderful. Imagine that, Gospel for Grampian listeners, if you're listening on today, and I want you to imagine, you've got an absolutely loving mom and dad. You love them so much and you see how much they care for you, how they love you and how they want the best for you. And they're kind and gentle in how they speak to you. They make you feel warm and comfortable, that even when they correct you, you know they're correcting you out of love, right? So you, out of fearing them, not out of, I'm scared they're going to beat me up if I'm going to do something wrong. Out of reverential respect for them, you respect them because you see they're loving parents that care for you, that want the best for you, and they're just such amazing parents. You respect and honor them as a result of their parenting. What happens? Hey, that is the fear of God. The fear of God is where I respect God. I honor God. And I don't want to disappoint God. And that is what Solomon is telling us today, youth. He's saying to us, the whole duty of a human being is to fear God, meaning respect God and honor God and obey his commandments. Because when you do that, you have protection. You have protection, and therefore you can walk like Jesus did. Right? What did he do? He grew in favor, in wisdom, and in stature with all people and with God, because he reverentially respected the Father and the Holy Spirit. And as a result, wisdom grew in him. God gave him wisdom and God gave him prominence. He grew in a good report between God and people. And that's what God wants for you, children. He wants you to grow in stature and wisdom and in favor with him and other people. And so to do that, I'm encouraging you today. You need to know that you were created by God for God. And when you know that, make it your duty to find out who you are in God, because then you will find out your purpose in life. And then you will see it is bigger than just having a mobile phone and having Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and gaming and friends. It's bigger than that. Yes, God wants us to be in fellowship with our fellow human beings, right? We spoke about friendships last week. Remember, I spoke to you on episode 24. I said, knock, knock, who's there? Not every door that opens is a door sure that it's from the Lord, because the devil also brings wrong friendships to corrupt you or wrong things to get your attention. And so then you end up walking further away from God instead of walking towards God, because you open the door to the wrong things. But when you begin to walk with God and you make God your priority, make God your beginning, then you will be aware when doors open and they're not of God, because you know more about yourself through knowing God. And as a result, youth, you will not end up making poor choices. I love what Ephesians 2:10 says, youth. He says, Paul says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And for through God, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." So as we are talking today about what are the things that youths cannot live by, what are the things that youths cannot live without? One of the things, the main things I'm saying today is not your friends, not your phone, not the internet, not human love, God's love. You cannot live without God, because the word of God says, love the Lord. He says the first commandment is love the Lord with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your heart. Love God with all of you. And then he said the second commandment is to love one another. So I'm saying to you, dear youth, while Kyle is saying he needs love and he needs someone to talk to him and he needs to hear other people talking, I'm saying to you that God gave us the order. In order for us to love our fellow human beings, we have to start with loving God. And so you need to make God your priority. Let him be your first love. Okay, because when you let God be your first love, you experience true love. And that true agape love is the love that you can demonstrate to other people and vice versa, right? And why are we saying that we need to begin with God? Because Ephesians 2:18 is telling us that for through God, we both have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. So we're seeing here that without God, without Jesus, we are unable to have access to the Father. The Father is Spirit. And in order for us to worship God in spirit and in truth, which is the Father, we need to have a relationship with Jesus, because Jesus came on the earth to restore us to God. So if we don't have a relationship with Jesus, then we cannot, through the Holy Spirit, be able to fellowship with the Father. Remember, we spoke over the weeks, we said God is Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God Holy Spirit. So God the Father sits on the throne. Jesus was on the earth for 33 years, and then he came and he paid the price on the cross of Calvary, resurrected on the third day, and now he sits at the right-hand side of the Father as a high priest, making intercession for us Christians on the earth. And then Jesus said, "I'm going away to build a home for all the saints. I'll come back and collect you." But he said, "Until that time, I'm going to tell the Heavenly Father to send you another comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit." So right now, dear youth, we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us. When you became born again, the Spirit of God lives in you. And that Spirit helps your spirit man to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that is what Ephesians 2:18 is saying. For through Jesus, we have access by one Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, to the Father. So we get to worship our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, through the born-again experience that Jesus brought onto the earth. Because when you became, when you received Jesus Christ as Lord, your spirit became reborn. His life gave your spirit rebirth. So you are born again in the life of Christ, right? So through him, you were created for good works. And so if you want to know, dear teenager, what do you want to do when you grow up? What does God want you to be? Well, then you need to spend time with God, because what does it say? Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before the hand that we should walk in them. So when you finish school, when you finish your education, dear youth, God wants you to go into the vocation that He prepared for you. There is an assignment for you. We spoke about David, right? He had talents. Let's talk about Joseph. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt and was a great economist. What about Esther? Esther got recruited into the parlor tested and treated with a whole lot of beauty treatment to qualify to be the king's bride, and she became a queen. And in becoming a queen, she got involved in politics to save her people. So as a queen, she had the mandate to address the king on political matters to save her people from being annihilated by Haman, who hated the Jewish people in Persia. So she was a politician. What about Deborah? Deborah was a judge. God gave her the ability to exercise prophetic gifts, so she would be able to see and hear God's voice for the people and give them a word from the Lord. So she was the voice of God to the people of her time. And then God gave her guidance to help win the battle against the neighboring countries that were coming against them. So Deborah led the army through Barak, and her words and her inspiration cheering Barak and the army brought them great victory. So she was not only a good prophet that spoke to the people on behalf of God and represented the people to God, but she was also an inspiration and a motivation, coaching Barak and the army of God to fight against the enemy, and they won the victory, and they had many years of peace because God raised her up to be a leader in that time, right? So you hear now all of these great leaders that were created on purpose for purpose. What about Josiah, King Josiah? He was 8 years old when he was recruited king. You're never too young to be used by the Lord. The key here is you have to fear the Lord, meaning respect the Lord, honor God, know He's God, and find out all about Him. What does He like? What doesn't He like? That's what the commandments is. In your home, you know what your mom and your dad doesn't like and like. So when you want some things from your mom or your dad, you quickly go and do something they like just so that you can get their attention and get them in a good mood, so that if you ask them for something, you know they're going to give it to you. You make it your duty, right, dear listeners? Yes, youth, when you want something from your parents or your teacher, you make it your duty to be extra kind to them. You make it your duty to find out what they like, and you give them what they like just so that you can get their attention in order for you to make your request known, knowing that they'll grant it because you gave them something that you know they like. How about doing that with God, dear youth? How about finding out, what do you like, God? You are my father. While I might have an earthly parent, you are my eternal parent, because the word of God says that we are children of God, right? Joined heirs in Christ Jesus. When you became born again, you became a child of God. So your earthly parents is your biological parents, but when you leave the earth and go to be with Jesus, you have an eternal father, an eternal parent. Don't wait to go to heaven to find out what He likes, because in heaven, everything you need, you have. Here on the earth, it is by faith that you get everything from the Father. Just like when you live at home with your parents, you have to ask them for stuff in order for you to be satisfied. If you want to go to the movies with your friends, or you want to buy an outfit, or you want a Coke or a cold drink or a cake or something to eat, you have to go and ask your parents, because they've got the purchasing power to buy things for you because you're a youth. Now with your heavenly Father, He's got everything for you, waiting for you to ask Him. So like you do with your earthly parent, Find out what God likes. Offer what he likes. He loves. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He loves your worship. He loves it when you talk to him. He loves it. He says, if my people who have called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and seek me and pray to me, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. God wants a relationship with you. God created us for family. Just like our beautiful Pratiksha said, I need friends. Just like Kyle said, I need love and I need people. I need to talk to people. I need family. I cannot not have people around. I need people. Just like that, God created us for family. And when you begin to associate to him as a family member, dear, dear youth, you will by faith receive the things you ask him, because it's only in knowing somebody that you can have faith in them to give you what you want. It is impossible for you to have faith in a stranger to give you something because you don't know them enough to trust them. Therefore, you don't hope in them. And so when we begin to have a relationship with the living God as our eternal Father, we know that he's going to give us more than our earthly parents could ever give us, because our earthly parents have got limitations. But God created everything, youth, and he's got no limitations. If you want something and he doesn't exist, God will create it for you, because he's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's Elohim. Elohim means he's the creator. So he can get anything you want, but you have to believe that when you ask him that you are going to receive it. And it's impossible for you to believe if you don't know him. Imagine you go ask your mom for food. Are you having faith to go ask her for food? No, you know that your love for her and her love for you is automatically going to give you that. So faith in God is basically saying, I know you, and I know you love me, Dad. And because you love me, eternal Abba Father, I know that you're going to give me what I need, because you know it's good for me. Our eternal Father, our Abba Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will not give us gifts that we don't need. They are loving parents, just like you have an earthly parent. When you ask God, he will give you what you need, because he knows what is good for you. Yes, youth, you heard me correct. While God might be rich and own everything in the universe, he will not give you everything you need, because God is a God of order, a God who is responsible, and God will not give irresponsible people things that they cannot manage. For example, God will not bless you with a car if you're 13 years old. No, he's going to give you a car when you are able to drive and you have a license. That's the God of order that we are. He's not going to give you a husband when you're a woman out there. He's not going to give you a husband when you're already married to a husband. God is a God of order. He'll give you what you need. And what you need is going to be what is good for you. So when you ask God for something and he doesn't give it to you, it's because God knows you don't need it. So I'm saying today that as we are talking about what are the things that youth cannot live without, I'm saying you cannot live without God. Just like you cannot live without friendships with people, you cannot live without worshiping God. Because it's in the worshiping that you receive everything that God wants you to receive, as in revelation, as in fellowship, and as in love. It is impossible for you to love God when you don't know him. It's in worship that you love him. Because, dear youth, God said two commandments, and on these two commandments, all the other commandments stand on. These two commandments is the foundation for all the other commandments to be obeyed. Meaning, you cannot, do not kill. If you don't love, you will kill. Do not hate. If you don't love, you will hate. Do not steal. If you don't love, you will steal. Because people who steal don't care about where they're stealing from. They are merciless and they are selfish. Love is not selfish. Because love is not selfish, it won't murder, it won't kill, it won't steal, it won't destroy. So when God says that the first two commandments are the most two commandments, the first commandment he speaks about is love. Without God's love, dear youth, you cannot live successfully because you will feel rejected, you will feel abandoned, you will feel lost, you will feel lonely, and you will never be able to receive love that are genuine from other people because you yourself don't know love. So if you want to experience love from other people in a way that is genuine, then you first need to know the love of God. And therefore, what is something that you cannot live without? That is worship. Because when you worship God, it is your fellowship with God. It is you having quality time with God. And in that quality time, you receive that amazing, beautiful, agape love, that eternal love, that unconditional love. And that love, dear youth, fills you up. And because of that love, you are now able to trust the Father like you trust your parents. When you ask your mom for food, you don't have to have faith to know that she's going to give it. You know that it'll come anywhere because she's a loving mommy. When you know God as a loving Father, then you'll know that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, because you love Him and therefore you know He loves you. And therefore, when He gives, when you ask Him for something, you know you will get it because He's a loving daddy and He's going to give you something that you need that is good for you. And when your loving daddy says, you're asking for something, but you're not going to get it now, you're not old enough to have it now, therefore you're not going to get it now, then you must know He's just being a loving parent. He's not real. He's just guarding you, because rejection is protection. So when daddy tells you no, you cannot have something now, even though you're praying for it, it ain't gonna happen because it's not your time to get it. Or if he says to you, you're not ever gonna have it, because he knows it's not good for you. He's your loving Father and he wants the best for you. So what are the things we're saying? What are the things you cannot live without, dear youth? Is you cannot live without God. You cannot live without fellowship with Him, because when you cannot fellowship with Him, you will experience the rejection of human relationships, because human love is not agape love. God's love is unconditional. Human love is not unconditional. And therefore, if you are not going to experience the love of the Father, then you are going to experience a lot of rejection. You're going to experience abandonment, and you're going to have a problem in terms of social interaction. I love what John 3:16 says. We cannot live without God, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world, dear youth, to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. And those who believe in Him will never be condemned. But those who do not believe in Him will be condemned. Because why? They didn't believe in God. Remember what the Bible says, youth, that for us to have eternal life, we have to believe in Jesus Christ. That means if I die today in this physical body, I'm going to live forever with God, because I'm a born-again Christian and Jesus is Lord of my life. But if I am an unbeliever and I die today, I'm not going to have eternal life with Jesus, because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, meaning believing in Jesus, shall have everlasting life and not perish. Perish means they're going to go to hell, right? And so God is saying that when human beings leave the earth, there's two places that they're destined for. They're either going to be with God forever, or they're going to perish and go to hell. And here God is saying that through believing in Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, heaven is our home. And when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, dear youth, you begin to have a relationship with Him, then you can say that life has meaning, because everything about your life starts and ends with God. If you don't start it with God, you are going to fail. You are going to either backslide, or you are going to just not experience the goodness of God that the Word of God speaks about. Because what did Solomon teach us? The duty of a whole person is to fear the Lord and obey His commandments. So if we don't make God the center of our lives, then we can't obey His commandments. It's like, for example, if you don't have a relationship with your parents, it's very difficult for you to adhere to what they tell you to do. It's difficult for you to obey the house rules when you don't have a healthy relationship with your parents. You become rebellious. You become stubborn. You become moody. You don't want to listen to them. You reject their counsel, right? Well, because you don't have a healthy relationship with them. But try having a healthy relationship with your parents. You welcome the correction. You respect the house rules. And you do what they say because you know it's good for you, right? Well, that's the same with God. If you're far from relationship with God, how will you know what He likes and what He doesn't like? What incentive do you have to obey His commandments? What? You're far from Him. But when you decide to keep that relationship close with God, then what matters to God matters to you. Yes, you. It says in John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the judgment of God abides in him." Exactly what I just said earlier on. When we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, we have eternal life. Because after we leave this body that we live in, when we die in the physical body, there's an eternity waiting for us. Do you know that? If you died today, you're not dead as in forever. While your physical body might perish and go back to the ground, your eternity is your real you in your spirit man. So the real you will go to be with Jesus. You live forever. But if you're not a Christian, you don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord, the judgment of God is upon you. That same judgment that is upon the devil and his demons is upon everybody that rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is the most important thing for you, teenagers? Not your phone, not your friends, not the internet. It is God, because in God you were created and for God you were created. And when you begin to find your purpose in God, then you will find value in life, right? It says here in John 11, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." What Jesus is telling Martha here, that even though you might die in this physical body, you're going to live forever. And whoever believes in me shall never die. Meaning the physical body will die, but the real you, which is your spirit man, is going to live forever. Okay, so imagine you're going to live forever, but you make no effort in this earthly life to find out about the real you. The spirit man in you, the real you. To find the real you, because you're created in the image and likeness of God, you have to know God. It's like, imagine this. You don't know your heritage. You don't know your parents. You don't know where you've come from. It affects your identity, right? If you wake up one morning and you have no idea who's your parents, which culture you came from, where's your heritage, it affects you and your destiny. That's the same when you neglect your spirit man and you neglect who you are in Christ. You have a problem identifying your destiny and where you're going to and where you've come from. You have a problem living for eternity. You end up just living your life based on where you think you're going to live for about 80 or 90 years on the earth, and then it's gone. You forget that eternity awaits you, and whatever you're going to do on the earth, dear youth, is going to impact eternity. So like Jesus said to Martha here, when Lazarus, her brother, died, he was trying to give her a very powerful revelation that is deeper than just a physical death. Jesus said to her that those who believe in me shall live even if they die. Meaning even if they physically die, they're going to live forever with Christ. Psalms 14:1-3 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Hey? The Bible says here, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there's anyone who understands God and who seeks God." Can you see that, dear youth? God is looking for those who will seek Him, just like a father and a mother who wants to spend time with their children, God created you on purpose for purpose. When you were born through your earthly parents, they planned and prepared you. They wanted to have you, right? Some children, unfortunately, their parents didn't plan them, but they were not a mistake, because nothing God creates is a mistake. If you were born, it's because God had you in mind. And people that grow up in healthy homes, their parents, the parents plan their children and they want to bond with their children. And so, likewise, God is seeking those who will seek him. He's looking out for those who will seek him because he's a loving father. Okay? So, youth today, don't neglect your relationship with God. God wants you to worship him, and not because he's a God that he wants you to bow down and be like a slave to him. No, he wants fellowship with you. He's a loving father. He's called Abba Father, our Father who art in heaven. He's a loving father. Jesus understood the love relationship of the Heavenly Father. Therefore, you can see he was so successful because he was not, even though he experienced rejection, he wasn't rejected because man rejected him, but he experienced the love of the Father. Therefore, that rejection of human love did not affect him, right? That rejection of human love did not affect him because he knew his Father loved him. Remember when he was baptized, and as he rose up from the baptism, the clouds opened and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Father says that he loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. That's how much God loves us. God loves us so much, dear youth, that he allowed Jesus to come to the earth and take on every human sin in his own body. Imagine that one human being taking on all the beatings and every sin of the worst sinner on his body, just so that we as human beings on the earth can be reconciled as children of God. We get reconciled when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. But imagine that the Father loves us so much that he was willing to send Jesus Christ to be the scapegoat, the penalty for sin on our behalf, so that we can be called adopted children of God. We are part of a blended family, but God doesn't see us less than Jesus. He calls us joined heirs. That while we were still sinning, he sent Jesus to take on all human sin so that we can be reconciled to them. How many earthly families you know will do that for their children? How many blended families you know will do that for their non-biological children? But here's Father God. Here's Father God sending Jesus to pay the price. Jesus, he's without sin, perfect as God, became imperfect and full of sin on that cross, just so that we can become adopted children of God. That is how much the Father loves us. And the reason he did that was he wanted to reconcile fellowship with us. He used to fellowship with Adam and Eve, but sin separated them from God because their spirit man was dead in sin. When they listened to the devil, their spirit man had died to the life of God, and it was dead in sin. And so Jesus had to come to give our spirit man his life. We got life again in our spirit. The Bible says that Jesus became the life-giving spirit. Therefore, when we're born again, we have the life of Christ in us. And that life means we are now in right standing with the Father. We now have relationship with the Father. He's our daddy. And he reconciled us with him so that he can fellowship with us. Imagine that. He's reconciled us with him, but we do not fellowship with him. So I'm saying to you, my beautiful youth today, you must begin your life as a teenager and as an adult and as a youth with God, not anything else, not your phone, not your friends, not your internet, no, with God, not even your parents, not even your siblings. You got to begin with God, because the Bible says, first you love God with everything of you, then you love one another. You cannot be a good sibling. You cannot love your parents with a God kind of love, unconditional. Children become jealous of their siblings. That means they don't know what unconditional love is. So if you want to avoid having jealousy and strife amongst your siblings, dear youth, you got to love God first, because His love is going to teach you how to lift up your sisters and brothers, not be divided and fighting and jealous and envious. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Just like a father that corrects the children and makes sure that they come live according to the standards of the house rules for their good, He prunes, your parents prune you and discipline you so that you live according to a specific culture and standard, according to the word of God. The Bible says, your God prunes us that we may bear more fruit, meaning we created like God. He created us to do good. He created us to be kind, good, gentle, patient, understanding. Hey, to be joyful, to be full of peace, to have faith in Him. All those kind of fruits come through us being with God, okay? He says here in verse 4, John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, youth, do good and be good unless you abide in God. So if you want to do good in life, you want to be good in life, you need to abide in God. So you need to begin your life in God, not anything else. The way you see your life shapes your life. How do you see your life? You must see it through God, not through social media, not through your phones, not through gaming and how talented you are, not through anybody else, not through your social groups. No, you need to see your life in God, because God, seeing your life in God is going to shape you, right? I love what author Rick Warren says here. He says, when you discover your identity and purpose through a relationship with Christ Jesus, he says you discover, sorry, not when you discover, he says you discover your identity and purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why identity, youth? Because the word of God says that we are created in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, you're going to be gender confused and identity confused. The reason there's gay and lesbianism and all these transgender identities out there, it's because they don't know who they are in Christ. God only created two types of genders. In the beginning in the garden, He said, I created them both male and female. So when you were born, dear youth, if you were born a female, it's because God designed you to be a female. You can't go tamper with that gender. If you were born a male, it's because God designed you to be a male. So when you do not choose to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to have gender confusion. You're going to have identity confusion. And people with identity confusion end up going into schizophrenia, where they allow social media and virtual realities to define who they are. They become a false person. So it's important for you to know that to discover your identity and purpose, you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I love what he says here. He says you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. Okay? He gives another quote here, which is Rick Warren. He says here, those who follow the crowd usually get lost in it. So you need to follow God. Because when you follow God, you are found. You have purpose, your identity, you know your origin, you know that you have an eternal purpose, you know that you are relevant now and significant for eternity. So do not follow the crowd, follow God, because you're going to follow the crowd, you're going to get lost. So I leave you with this wonderful quote from Rick Warren today. Life is a gift, youth. Life is a test. Life is a temporary assignment. So remember, it is a temporary assignment designed for eternity. So make your life count by making God your number one priority. Let God be the most important thing that you need in life. I love you. Bye-bye.